tuned to the North American service of Radio Moscow, and here is the news, read by Boris Novikov. Here's the headline. The 22nd Olympic Games have closed in Moscow. The Soviet national daily Pravda says the relaxation of tensions should remain the basic trend of international times. On Monday, the United Nations Security Council intends to consider Israel's annexionist measures towards Jerusalem. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. The 22nd Olympic Games closed in Moscow on Sunday. The president of the International Olympic Committee, Lord Kilanin, declared them closed at a festive ceremony. On his committee's behalf, he thanked President Brezhnev, the Soviet people, the Moscow authorities, the organizing committee, the participants and guests, the media, all who contributed to the success of the Moscow Olympics. In addressing the Olympians, he stressed that in honest competitions, they had demonstrated real friendship irrespective of the color of their skin or religious and political convictions. The competitions and the records set by many athletes, said Lord Kilanin, point to high level of the games. He said he grieved for those who were unable to participate. In accordance with Olympic tradition, he urged young people in all nations to meet in 4 years at the 23rd Olympic Games in Los Angeles. The IOC president underlined that Olympic Games exist for the benefit of future generations and that they should not be used for political purposes. He urged all athletes to combine their efforts in order to prevent a devastating war. Taking part in the 22nd Olympic Games were leading athletes from 81 countries. During the parade and the closing ceremony, they marched in a mixed column, irrespective of nationality, symbolizing Olympic unity of athletes. The ceremony held in Moscow's main stadium included the lowering of the Olympic flag and the extinguishing of the sacred Olympic fire. There was a 5-gun salute and the singing of the Ode to Sport to the lyrics by the founder of the Olympic Games of the modern era, Pierre de Coubertin. The closing ceremony was followed by a colorful celebration featuring appearances by athletes and entertainment groups who occupied the whole arena. Gymnasts and acrobats were followed by full groups which carried tall traditional Russian dolls. Finally, there was a farewell ceremony for the Olympic musket. An 8-meter-tall Olympic musket was carried on the arena attached to a bunch of balloons. It was then released and floated skywards, disappearing from sight. The ceremony was attended by more than 100,000 spectators, and the Olympic contests were watched by a total of some 5 million fans, including tourists from different countries. 1.5 million people watched the Olympiad on television. Athletes competing in the Olympiad have set 36 world and 74 Olympic records, and many of the more than 7,000 competitors have set new national records. The sports circles and the press give a high appraisal of the Olympic Games in Moscow. Olympic swimming champion Duncan Goodhue said on his return to Britain that these were the best games in which he took part. The president of the National Olympic Committee of Italy, Franco Carano, has noted a very high technical level of the games. France press reports say Moscow has coped with preparations and the conduct of the Olympiad with flying colors. Everything is functioning flawlessly, including the electronic displays, sports facilities, and the first-class hotels. The agency describes the success of the Olympiad as yet another defeat of the policy of Cold War. The Soviet National Daily Pravda says the relaxation of tensions should remain the basic trend of international ties. Pravda calls the pullout of 30,000 Soviet troops from the German Democratic Republic an example of concrete steps in this direction. At the same time, the United States and other NATO countries are whipping up the arms race in an attempt to get military superiority. Pravda says it is an unattainable goal, but one that is damaging the world climate. The Soviet Union believes, says the Daily, that a dialogue based on the principle of equal security of the two sides can preserve the relaxation of tensions. In the United States, Democratic Senator George McGovern called on the Senate on Sunday to resume its debates on SALT II. He said the treaty is important for the security of the United States and for the very existence of mankind. The senator said that, in his view, the debate should be resumed right after the presidential elections in November. Congressional debates on SALT II were postponed in the beginning of the year on an initiative of President Carter. Cuba and Mexico have come out for disarmament, first of all, the nuclear, and for halting the arms race. This is stated in a communique on the visit to Cuba by Mexican President José López Portillo, and it starts with Fidel Castro. The negotiators welcomed the victory of the people of Nicaragua and said they are ready to help them. They also censured the violations of human rights in El Salvador and supported the right of the Salvador people to determine their future themselves. The communique condemns the military coup in Bolivia. The Tokyo session of the International Conference for Banning Nuclear Weapons has ended with the participants passing a declaration demanding an end to the arms race. The document, adopted by delegates of more than 20 countries, including the Soviet Union, and of 12 international organizations, declares that the most urgent tasks facing mankind include preventing nuclear war, liquidating nuclear weapons, and ending the arms race. Conference sessions will be continued in Hiroshima on August 5th and 6th, and also in Nagasaki on August 9th. A Cambodian foreign ministry representative has launched a protest over flagrant violations by Thailand of its country's independence, sovereignty, and territorial integrity. The statement says that there were 17 reconnaissance flights by Thai aircraft over Cambodian territory from the 24th to the 31st of July, and Thai army units staged mortar attacks on Cambodian border areas. The statement says the present policies of Bangkok prove that it continues to oppose the Cambodian revolution and that it sides with the Chinese expansionists in their attempts to fire up tension in the region. The General Secretary of the Islamic Conference Organization has strongly condemned Israel for proclaiming Jerusalem its capital. In a statement in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, Mr. Habib Shakti described the move as a challenge to the international community. He said this was especially so in view of the fact that only a few days ago, the United Nations General Assembly demanded that Israel should pull out from all the occupied territories, including Jerusalem. Habib Shakti said, the Islamic Conference will consider measures against countries which support the expansionist actions of the Israeli leadership. He denounced as racist the Israeli policy on the occupied territories. An extraordinary session of the Security Council opens in New York on Monday to consider Israeli expansionist moves concerning Jerusalem. On Sunday in Tehran, there has been another demonstration in front of the United States Embassy in support of Iranian students arrested in Washington during a demonstration a week ago. The demonstrators in Tehran protested over the cruel treatment of the arrested students who were kept in irons in a jail in Atrasgan. Iran's ambassador to the United Nations has been instructed to visit more than 20 Iranian women who were also jailed by the American authorities. The women took part in a demonstration in Washington in protest over United States interference in the affairs of Iran. That's the end of the news from Radio Moscow. And now, a report of the closing ceremony of the Summer Olympic Games in Moscow. We are now at the Grand Arena, the Lunar Stadium, here in Moscow, to witness the closing ceremonies of the 22nd Summer Olympic Games. Announcing the closing ceremonies of the 22nd Summer Olympic Games.
16 days have gone by. Days which have been chock full of thrilling events, keen sports competitions, people have struck up new friendships. They've developed trust among themselves. They've come to understand each other better. These 16 days, thousands upon thousands of people in the Central Lenin Stadium, that was the main sports arena of the Olympic Games, and the other sports arenas rooted for their favorite athletes. They gave a big hand to the winners and were very, very enthusiastic about the Games. I'd just like to mention that over 5 million spectators watched the Olympic Games here in Moscow. The scene in the main sports arena changes once again. The last band has just receded to the side of the arena, and hundreds of standard bearers fill the arena, carrying flags with the emblem of the Games of the 22nd Olympiad here in Moscow. The scene is indeed very colorful. It's a bright and colorful scene. Athletes entering the main arena in single file from different directions and closing their ranks.
And in a film, we'll see people of different nationalities, people from different countries who have come here from all over the world, and all the 100,000 seats in the grandstands are occupied. Out on the field we have girls in their gym suits and colorful flags ready for the closing ceremony.
Overture by the famous Soviet composer Dmitri Shostakovich, and the festive ceremony of the closing of the Games of the 22nd Olympiad is just about to begin.
With different colored flags, we see the emblem of the 22nd Games and a bright star up on the left-hand corner, and rays emanating, changing colors, gold and crimson. And it seems that this live background of human beings is a one master emblem of the 22nd Summer Olympic Games.
Of the flags of the participating delegations are marching into the arena in a single file. And they're marching into the arena according to the Russian alphabet. The first is the flag of Greece, followed by the Olympic flag.
Athletes who have just taken part in the march past are in the center of the field, and we hear a fanfare of trumpets and the orchestra, and thousands of athletes in colorful costumes have formed the five Olympic rings in the center of the stadium. It's just beautiful. And we see entering the arena Lord Michael Turan, president of the IOC. Coming up to the microphone.
The raising of the Greek national flag and the Syriac national flag, the flag of Los Angeles, the city selected to organize the 1984 Olympic Games, was hoisted on the left flagpole. And now the floor is given to the president of the International Olympic Committee, Lord Michael Kilmaren, and who all the fans greet him.
I have shortly to close the games in accordance with tradition. But before doing so, I'd ask, as I did at the close of the Winter Games at Lake Placid, to implore the sportsmen of the world to unite in peace before a Holocaust descends. Alas, sport is intertwined with politics. But I do not being accused of being naive. Sport and Olympic Games must not be used for political purposes, especially when other political, diplomatic, and economic means have not been tried. Olympic Games are for the benefit of our children. The sportsmen gathered here for the games of the 22nd Olympiad have shown their great friendship despite their varying colors, religious, or political philosophies in fair competition. Let us love our neighbors. The standards and records of the many individuals are ample proof of the great performances obtained at these games. And I only grieve for those who were not able to participate. This is my last appearance as president of the International Olympic Committee. And I wish Michael Stoker, your Antonio Samarang, every good wish and pledge my support as honorary vice president for the future in the problems he will have to face. I must thank all the members of the International Olympic Committee, the International Federation, and the National Olympic Committees who assisted me during my term of office. In the name of the International Olympic Committee, I offer to President Brezhnev and the people of the Soviet Union our best wishes. To Mayor Pomysov and the authorities of the city of Moscow, and to President Novikov and the organizing of the committee of the Games, our deepest gratitude. I thank the competitors, the officials, the spectators, the media, and all those who have contributed to the success of these games. I declare the games of the 22nd Olympiad closed. And in accordance with tradition, I call upon the youth of the whole country to assemble 4 years from now at Los Angeles, there to celebrate with us the games of the 23rd Olympiad.
Olympic flag will be lowered to the strains of the Olympic hymn. This is a very solemn moment for all the thousands of spectators gathered in the Central Lenin Stadium in Moscow, and the stadium is back to capacity, and for all the TV viewers who are sitting glued to their screens, and all those listening to radio programs covering the final for the closing
Olympic pin, the Olympic flag, has been lowered and is now being carried by eight young men in blue uniforms out of the stadium. And in the background, we can count the five rings on the right background. And you see that a flag is waving in the air. And near the, behind the Olympic flame, bidding farewell to Olympic sweat.
The girls are dressed in colorful Greek tunics, just as it was during the ancient Olympic Games. Gradually, the Olympic fire is being extinguished. The girls are standing with their arms raised towards the fire. The athletes carrying the Olympic flag have raised it high aloft above their heads.
The girls have bowed, and as if emanating from the base of the Olympic bowl, we have rays emanating down, as if they are continuing, and the flame, the Olympic flame, the 22nd Olympiad, is out.
Hundreds, even thousands of white doves have been released into the air, flying over the stadium, over the central Lenin Stadium here in Moscow. Packed to capacity. And all the participants on this festive occasion, are giving a big hand to the Olympic athletes who have covered themselves with glory. And we see fireworks, colorful fireworks in the air.
Five salvos of the five Olympic rings being fired in the evening sky of Moscow. Beautiful.
It's a beautiful sight indeed.
Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev met with the Czechoslovak leader Gustav Husak and the Polish leader Edward Gerek. Earlier, President Brezhnev had had a meeting with the Hungarian leader Janos Kadar. Here is an analysis prepared by Yuri Yakovlev of Radio Moscow. The Crimea meetings are a major factor for coordinating economic cooperation among socialist countries and outlining their foreign policy. This time, economic targets have been revealed. The point is that 1981 is the first year of economic development plans covering a period of 5 years. The socialist countries are coordinating their national plans. They're concluding agreements on joint projects and production cooperation. All this will promote further dynamic growth of their economies and living standards. This point has been emphasized during the latest meetings in the Crimea. On foreign policy issues, the socialist countries have stressed once again they were determined to press for relaxed tensions, and this was doubly important, taking into consideration the present strained situation in the world. There is a tested remedy on hand, that is, to continue the political dialogue and contacts among countries having different social frameworks. This is proven by the recent Soviet-French and Soviet-West German summits. The forthcoming Madrid follow-up meeting in November involving representatives of the countries that took part in the European Security Conference in Helsinki in 1975 is destined to foster peaceful cooperation and peaceful coexistence. would gain in significance if it decides to convoke a conference on military relaxation and disarmament in Europe. This common stand, shared by the socialist community countries, has been reaffirmed in the Crimea. The leaders of the Soviet Union, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and Poland, made a particular stress on the importance of relaxation in the military field. It is essential to halt the rampant nuclear buildup advocated by the fire-eaters of the West, who are after a new round in the arms race. They are eager to upset the present equilibrium of military strength in Europe in their favor. However, such attempts are futile. They can only aggravate the international situation still more, the leaders of the four socialist countries have emphasized. In their opinion, the latest Soviet proposals open up real possibilities for improving the world situation, specifically the proposal to start talks on medium-range nuclear missiles in Europe in conjunction with American forward-based delivery systems. The leaders of the socialist countries have pledged their support for the Afghan people, safeguarding the cause of the April Revolution. They stress their readiness to promote a political settlement of the Afghan issue on the basis of proposals made by the Afghan government. The socialist community is firmly behind the Palestinian people and its struggle for inalienable national rights. It is a well-known fact that the Palestine problem is the core of a fair Middle East settlement. It is this kind of a settlement that has been authoritatively demanded at the United Nations. The participants in the Crimea meetings have underscored the growing importance of communist solidarity in the struggle for peace and social progress. Commentary was by Yuri Yakovlev. This is the North American service of Radio Moscow.